Everybody, this morning time I want to speak, teach and share about something which I am very excited about. I want to speak about the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. The wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. Last week I spoke about the full, not the half gospel. And by that, of course, you know, that there are churches which are called the full gospel churches, or there's a church called the Church of God in India, bracket full gospel. So there are many meaning of full gospel. What I meant by full gospel was, you see, God so loved the world that He sent His Son. I would say that is very good, and that is the base for all the good news. But that's not the only good news. The next good news is Jesus, after He rose again and ascended, He has sent His Spirit. That is also a very wonderful gospel. I mean, very wonderful news, I would say. What is news? We are excited about Christmas. How many are excited about Pentecost? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying how many of you are excited about Pentecostalism. You know, I'm saying how many of you are excited that the Holy Spirit was sent. Actually, it set me thinking. I mean, I'm not saying that we must change all our practices. All I'm saying is the church has been celebrating the coming of the second person of the Trinity. But what about the coming of the third person of the Trinity? There are some churches who have a, you know, church calendar. There's a lectionary, and you know, there are, you know, so there's a time like this and like this, and so they at least remember. So, but there are churches, you know, who we believe in the Holy Spirit, and we are generally happy, but that way we could have been generally happy about the coming of Jesus also, yeah. But we are so glad, and the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit is something which I would like to talk about. And may the Lord, you know, open our eyes to see the wonder of the gift. Amen. Message is not really about that after I talk, I'll pray for people or the elders will pray for people to receive the... I mean, that's not that kind. Message is basically so that you will be, your mind would be enlarged. That's my aim. The understanding, at least a little more wonder and little more thankfulness, little more awareness of the enormity of the gift which God has given. Hallelujah. And let that happen. So, in the Old Testament, through Prophet Joel, God had prophesied. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. The book of Joel chapter 2, verse 28. First verse. It will come about after this, that I will pour out my spirit, capital S. Please note, wherever in the Bible, sometimes we may see the smallest spirit is our spirit, capital S. I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. So there was this prophecy. And then Years later, John the Baptist comes around. He goes to the people of Israel, and he basically says two things about someone who is going to come after him. Yeah? He says, I am sent to prepare a place for that person. So you all be prepared. So he preached a baptism of repentance. And he basically spoke two main things about the coming one. The first, he is the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. That's one major thing he told about the one who is going to come. He is the Lamb. He is the sacrifice who will take away the sins of the world. But very interestingly, you see, he spoke one other major thing about Jesus. Matthew chapter 3 verse 11. Very interesting. Hallelujah. John the Baptist said, as for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Very, very interesting. I mean, we know that Jesus, I mean, most people here in this room would know Jesus as a savior, Jesus as a redeemer, you know, Jesus as healer, Jesus as deliverer, Jesus as friend. But how many of you think about Jesus as a baptizer? Actually, that's a very, you know, frankly, that thought was not there in my mind that, oh, Jesus was being introduced to the people of Israel as one person. Look at this person. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. As if that is one of his major work. Think of the implications of that. The two main things which John the Baptist spoke about Jesus, one was he takes away the sin. So, people sitting here, almost all of you know that. But what about the second major thing he said? How many of us look at Jesus as a person who is a baptizer? Jesus the baptizer. We all know John the Baptist. How many of us know Jesus the Baptist, you know, in a different way, not water baptism, but spirit. So, Prophet Joel prophesied. John the Baptist came around the time of Jesus and said, somebody is going to come. Now, what did Jesus say? In the book of John, chapter 14, in a section which is known as the farewell discourse, John chapter 13 to John chapter 17 is something which can be called the farewell discourse. Yes, farewell in the sense Jesus is going to leave the world very soon. And he called his disciples and spoke wonderful things. I would say when you give the farewell discourse, you kind of try to cut every unnecessary thing. I mean, you say the most important thing. And so he said, you know, if some of you know that, you know, many of the Kerala husbands work in the Gulf, you know. So when they are going and the wife is here or, you know, near ones are there, for some time they are not going to come back, they will give some instruction, isn't it? I'm going, but when I am not here, you manage things like this. Yeah? Some very important instructions. Now, Jesus Christ said something very important. John chapter 14, verse 25. Okay. Verse 15. If you love me, he told his disciples, you will keep my commandments. Next. I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper. Please note the word another. So who is the first helper? Jesus Himself. He will give you another helper that He may be with you forever. Interesting, because this helper will not be there forever with them. So this helper is going, but He will give you another helper who will be with you forever. That is the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. Not just with you, but in you. So this is what Jesus Christ says. Of course, wonderful things are written in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16 about what the Holy Spirit is going to do once He comes. So we have the prophecy of Joel, we have the announcement of John the Baptist, and we have the promise of Jesus Christ. Around 50 days after Jesus was crucified, came the feast of Pentecost. By that time, Jesus had He died, He rose again, He was there for 40 days, and then He had ascended. And He had told the disciples not to go anywhere, but to remain in Jerusalem till they be clothed with power from on high. He said that they will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they will be His witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so the disciples were in the upper room, around 120 people, and they were praying. And on the day of Pentecost, something marvelous happened. There was a sound of a rushing great wind, and flames of fire came upon each person. The important thing is not selected persons. There were 120 disciples, and the Spirit came upon all. Please note that. Very important. It's not some entrance exam was there and few qualified kind, you know. There were only 10 seats. Rest of them, even though they were, you know, they couldn't get. That's not the case. 120 disciples, 120, all 120 were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began speaking in other languages, and, you know, things were happening. So, and on that very day, in response to all that was happening, there was, it was like, in Hindi we say like a Mela time, you know. It was like a big gathering. Three times in the year, all the people of Israel, all the males of Israel were expected to gather in Jerusalem. And this was one of them. So there was a lot of halagulla in, all the lot of happenings. And then they hear all these people speaking in other languages. And Peter stood in midst of them and he explained, you see, what you're seeing is not that people are drunk in the morning time. You know, that's not happening. By the way, when people drink liquor, suddenly they start speaking in English, especially in this part of the, some other language. I don't know why that happens. You must have noticed it. So probably this happened there also. That's why they also thought these guys are speaking in another language. That was something gadbad. But Peter said, come on, how can all these people be drunk, and that also in the morning time? You know, that's usually not the time when people drink, except few chronic, alcohol-dependent people. But rest of them, they don't drink in the morning. And then he began to explain that, see, this is a fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. I mean, all these things what I'm telling, almost all of you know. Now, many people think that Holy Spirit made His grand entry into this world at the time of Pentecost. What was Holy Spirit doing before that? You see, Holy Spirit in theological circles is called the Cinderella of theology. You know what Cinderella means? Neglected, you know, not very much paid attention to. Although very important, but not paid much attention to. Historically, there has been a lot of studies and everything about Father and the work of the Son, and comparatively, there has not been that many studies and reflections and. But you would be surprised to know, if you haven't known it already, that the Spirit of God was very quite active in the Old Testament. Let's take the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter 1. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 1 onwards. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the capital S, Spirit of God, was moving over the surface of waters. Brethren, Spirit of God was involved in creation. He was involved in creation. Look at Psalm 104, verse 30. Psalm 104, verse 30. You send forth your spirit and they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. You see, in the beginning, things were chaotic and there was no form or beauty, but Spirit of the Lord came and brought about order and beauty. You see, the triune God was involved in the creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Spirit of God was hovering and God spoke. In the book of Colossians chapter 1, Apostle Paul says, all things were created by him, and he's talking about Jesus, and for him. Oh, so Jesus Christ is involved, the second person of the Trinity. First person of the Trinity is anyway involved, and Spirit of God is involved. So creation is a work of the triune God. It helps to know this because it will enlarge our understanding of the Holy Spirit. What else did the Holy Spirit do in the Old Testament? Well, this is not going to be an exhaustive teaching about that, but let me just mention. You see, during the time of Old Testament, various kings were helped through the Holy Spirit. They were anointed. The Holy Spirit came upon Saul, but then the Spirit was withdrawn. Then the Holy Spirit came upon David. By the way, that is why David, in Psalm 51, after he commits the sin, he becomes very afraid. And he prays, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O God. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. He was afraid that God would withdraw his Holy Spirit, just as he has done in the life of Saul. That's why he prayed like that. In the New Testament, we don't need to pray that particular prayer because Jesus Christ said, I will send my spirit, he will be with you forever. He will be in you. But my point is, in the Old Testament, Holy Spirit was active in the life of the kings of Israel, you know. Holy Spirit spoke and led through the judges. Samson was one example. Holy Spirit spoke through the prophets. He worked through the prophets. Holy Spirit put certain special skills in the life of people like Bezalel and Oholiab, so that they could build the tabernacle. I'm not taking each verse, but let's understand that Holy Spirit was pretty active. Holy Spirit is the one who inspired the prophets to write the scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 1, I think it's verse 19 or 9. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So when we say all scripture is God-breathed, the third person of the Trinity, the Spirit of God, hallelujah, Spirit of God, the role of the Spirit of God. Let me show you another very interesting passage, Isaiah chapter 63. The Spirit of God was also involved in leading the people of God, in guiding them, in helping them to be holy. And that is why when they did evil, you see what happened. Isaiah chapter 63, verses 8 onwards, okay? For he said, surely they are my people, sons who will not deal falsely. So he became their savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his mercy, he redeemed them. God redeemed them. And he lifted them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Oh, I thought grieving his Holy Spirit came in the New Testament. They rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he turned himself to become their enemy. He fought against them. Oh. And now, at another place, when the people of Israel who were deported to Babylon, years later, King Cyrus issued a decree and they decided to come back, and they were led by a person called Zerubbabel. And this Zerubbabel and company, and they started rebuilding the temple. There was opposition and they said, well, now we'll not be able to. They just gave up. So what happened? God stirred up Haggai and Zechariah. And what did they do? They encouraged them. They encouraged Zerubbabel. And that is where we know of this famous thing where Zerubbabel is told by Zechariah, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So, the Spirit of God was helping and encouraging people of God in the Old Testament. Oh. Then you would say, come on, then what's so great about Pentecost? Spirit of God was already in the world. Is it not? Spirit of God was already doing all these things. In fact, even now he is doing pretty similar things. He is helping us to understand the scriptures. He is helping us, giving us special talents and gifts. And he is speaking through people. And he is helping in holy living. So what's so special? And I am so glad that I now am, I think I am understanding something. And that is, let's go back to Joel chapter 2 verse 28. What's so special about the present time? Spirit of God was there before. From the creation he is there. It's not that he suddenly made a, you know, sometimes we see a movie and one of the characters appears after the interval. Till then, where was he? We don't know. You know, suddenly he's appearing. Is Holy Spirit like that? No, not at all. Holy Spirit it will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. Now, before I move forward, let me tell you, Jesus Christ himself said, I will send my spirit whom the world cannot receive. So, this all mankind or all flesh cannot mean all the population in this world. Okay? So, that cannot be. Only his people. So, what is special about Pentecost is that during the Old Testament time, the Spirit of God did work amongst the people of God. Spirit of God did work. But the Spirit of God did not work in all the people. Only in few kings and prophets or some special people, the Spirit of God was working. That's one difference. In the last days, on everybody. And that's what happened on that day. It's not that Spirit of God came up on the day of Pentecost, Spirit of God came upon Peter and 11 disciples. No, other people were sitting there also. It's not that Spirit of God came upon all men who were sitting there. No, there were women also, including the mother of Jesus, Mary. So, Spirit of God came upon women also. Men, women, bond servant, whatever, you know, doesn't matter. If you are in the Lord, the Spirit of God will be given. That's one major difference. And second major difference is, it is not only going to be, although the Spirit of God indwelt certain people in the Old Testament, this was not just going to be an external help. This Spirit of God will be in that person, and not just for some time, but throughout their life. So it's not that Bezalel and Oholiab has a particular task, and once tabernacle is built, I don't know what happened about the Spirit of God in their life, but they were given something special for that. Fine, work is done. But this coming of the Spirit is a special coming of the Spirit. And that Spirit of God could not come unless a particular work was done. Unless sin could be atoned for. And that is why Jesus Christ said, unless I go, unless I am glorified, the Spirit cannot come. And that is the good news about Pentecost. That here is Jesus Christ when he said it is finished. And then when he rose again, he entered the heavens like a high priest. Not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood. A perfect sacrifice offered by a perfect high priest to God. And now the stage is set. Now the Holy Spirit could be sent. And Holy Spirit has come upon all flesh. Hallelujah. Yes, you can really say hallelujah. Only, I mean, when you are, I would not want to just you know, bring some background music and stir you up unnecessarily. you should be, the truth should be stirring by itself, yeah? Truth doesn't need embellishments. Truth can excite us. Hallelujah. And truth can be continue to excite us even if the keyboard is not working, even if the current goes away. Hallelujah. Even if we are put behind the bars. Hallelujah. That's why Paul and Silas, in the midnight, in the prison, first of all, in the midnight is time for sleeping. Secondly, prison is not exactly the place where you should be rejoicing. Prison is the last. And by the way, those days, the jails and prison were not at all like modern day Tihar jail, etc., which have quite reasonable facilities, you see. And they were rejoicing. What's wrong with these guys? Nothing is wrong. They are seeing something. They are seeing the greatness of walking with God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Now, so triune God was involved in creation. Triune God was involved in new creation. Or I can say like this, triune God was involved in creation and triune God is involved in salvation. Many times people think, again, you may think, what's AR? Why are you, you know, splitting the hairs? God saved me. Okay, good, good. God saved us. But many people think that Jesus saved us. So that is why people are very thankful to Jesus. But what about the Father? No, he only sent, you know. It's easy to send. You go. So many people think of the Father as, some people even think that it was some cosmic child abuse. You see? Father is not caring for the son. Please don't be worried. This, all kinds of things are there in the minds of people. That's because they think of an angry father. Ooh, I want to kill. And then the son comes. Father, please don't kill. Please, don't kill them. And so we all love whom? The son. What about the father? Because he wants to kill. Now, who gave us this idea? No, he's a just God. Don't get me wrong. There is the wrath of God. But who gave us this idea that the father was not involved in the salvation? God so loved the world. Hallelujah. The father loved the world. Now, the Father loved the world and Jesus came and gave his life. Hallelujah. What about the Spirit of God? Well, you would be, actually, as isolated facts, I knew this. But as together, I did not know it. Let's see what the Holy Spirit did. Yeah? Luke 1:35. You see, Jesus Christ did the work of salvation through the power of the Spirit. Spirit of work was at work in the life of the second person of the Trinity. So look at how Jesus was born. Luke 1:35. The angel answered and said to her, said to whom? Mary. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. Oh, so Jesus was born, conceived by the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. Okay, Mark chapter 1 verse 10. So Jesus is getting baptized in water at the age of 30 and he is being sent for the ministry. Immediately coming out of the water, he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. Oh, so at the beginning of the ministry, Holy Spirit comes. In another place it is written, then the Spirit drove him to wilderness to be tested by the devil. Oh, Acts 10:38. So how did Jesus do his ministry? Jesus went around doing good. So here, Peter is speaking and Luke is quoting. Peter says, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So, how did Jesus do all the wonderful things? Through the Spirit of God. So, Spirit of God was involved in the conception of Jesus, in the baptism of Jesus, in the ministry of Jesus. Now, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Hebrews 9, verse 14. Hallelujah. Quick. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal capital Spirit offered himself without blemish to God? So Jesus surrendering himself on the cross and dying was through the Holy Spirit, through the power of the Spirit. So Jesus died. And Romans chapter 1 verse 4. This is talking about Jesus, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the capital Spirit of holiness. So how was Jesus resurrected? Through the Spirit. Oh my God. So the Holy Spirit, from the beginning to the end of whatever Jesus did, was very much involved. So the triune God has been involved in the creation. The triune God is involved in the new creation. He is the one who causes the believers to be born again. Unless you are born of the Spirit, he is the one who causes people to be born again. Very, very interesting, you see. So, look at the relationship between Jesus and the Spirit. Very interesting. It is the Spirit of God who caused Jesus to be conceived, commissioned, empowered to surrender and die and rise again. And it is the Son who sends the Spirit. Wow. Let's not have a hierarchy. We are used to hierarchy. We want to put somebody above other. We meet three people and say, who is the head? Tell me, who is the main person? Well, people. Who is the bigger one? Jesus or the Holy Spirit? Now you decide. You know, some church fathers, they have said that God uses the Son and the Spirit. Something like two hands. He sent the Son and he sent the Spirit. And in my own mind, John 3:16 was the only main thing which is there. God so sent his Son. But he sent his Son, hallelujah. Of course, that is the foundation for sending of the Spirit. Now, the very interesting part of the Holy Spirit is, as far as the triune God is concerned, out of the three persons, the one who is closest to us is the Holy Spirit. In terms of experience. How many of us have seen the Father or experienced the Son? No, it is the Spirit of God who makes it real, who glorifies Jesus. You see, but the Spirit of God has a peculiar character. When I say peculiar, means uncommon character. And you know what that is? Oh, I mean, of course, there must be many wonderful characters. But John 16 verse 14 is something which amazes me. And that is, the Holy Spirit has a peculiar character. And what is that? John 16 verse 14, 1-4. So when the Spirit of God will come, Jesus says, he will glorify me. For he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. What the Holy Spirit does is, Holy Spirit doesn't talk about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit talks about Jesus. Oh, wow. This is a peculiar character, because mostly people talk about themselves, isn't it? In general. But in the Trinity, it's a little, it's different. The Holy Spirit is talking about Jesus. Holy Spirit is not even demanding worship. He says, in the Trinity, the intra-Trinitarian, there's one God, but there are three persons. And it's so wonderful. That's a big subject on its own to be meditated on. The relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the Father says, I want to make his name great. Whose name? The Son's name. That at his name, not at the Father's name, every knee must bow. So the Father's desire is that Son's name should come. Now, the Son says, I do not want to do anything on my own. I only will do what I see my Father doing. Whatever I want to do, I want to glorify my Father. The Son is like this. Now, Spirit of God says, I will not talk about myself. I'll talk about the Son. The Son says, if anybody says anything against the Father, no problem. But blasphemy against the Spirit is a big thing. Then finally, when all at his name, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Finally, when everything is put under the feet of Jesus, in 1 Corinthians 15, it is written, Jesus will take everything and give it back to the Father. Wow, 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 wow. No one-upmanship. Hallelujah. If every family was like this, where a husband is wanting to say to the wife, and Father says, I give all the judgment part to the Son. That judgment has a lot of power, you see. But Father gives that. Son says, finally gives glory to the Father. Whew. What would have happened if there is this intra-Trinitarian kind of love in the church and the leadership? Wow. Now, why am I saying all this, you see? I know this is not a theology class. But our understanding will certainly change our perspective. Hallelujah. Brother Sunil, why are you telling all this thing? Give us some pep talk. I came here depressed and you are talking about Holy Spirit? Lay your hands upon me and pray. Some people come to this church and say, this church doesn't have the Holy Spirit. Really? This church doesn't have the Holy Spirit. What they mean is, you see, I would not fault them, I will not accuse them. All I would say is, they have probably reduced the Spirit to certain aspects of what the Spirit does. So many people, you see, in the 1900s, the Pentecostalism started. And there was great emphasis on the revelatory gifts of God, in the sense prophecies and other things, and on the power gifts of God, which came later on through the charismatics. And thanks be to God for these movements, because the church as a whole, it's not that nothing was happening before, but the church as a whole was awakened to that area. But to limit Holy Spirit to just these two areas is a reductionism. Holy Spirit is much larger. And because of extensive abuses of the Holy Spirit, the name of the Holy Spirit, what now many common people in the church, they associate Holy Spirit with some kind of experience and falling down and all kinds of barking and laughter and such things are not happening here. Please don't expect such things. If you are saying, okay, this Sunday it is not there, maybe next Sunday. Lord, let barking happen here. No. If that happens, some spirits may have to be cast out. Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. Hallelujah. Why is the Holy Spirit given? Again, there's so much to say, but let me just enumerate, why is the Holy Spirit given? One, for boldness and power in witnessing. Second, Holy Spirit is given so that the Holy Spirit convicts the unbelievers of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Third, the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ to the believer. He reveals Christ to the believers. He increases the intimacy with Christ. Fourth, the Holy Spirit helps Christians to overcome the sinful nature. When the Christians walk by the Spirit, they will not produce the deeds of the flesh. In fact, what they will produce is fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given so that He will lead the people, the disciples, into all truth, so that He will illuminate the Scriptures, so that He will help interpret the Scriptures, so that He will help apply the Scriptures in our lives, which He Himself inspired and which He Himself, you know, is now teaching. Why was the Spirit given? Yes, He was also given to give gifts to the people in the church, including the power gifts, the revelatory gifts. But to limit Holy Spirit to only the gifts, you would say, you know, that is severely limiting the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you, just in one or two lines, let me tell, some of you may be saying, but brother, isn't the Spirit gifts important? Is it not healing important? Yes, hallelujah, healing is important. Then why are you not calling people in the front and praying? Who told you that people have to be called to the front and prayed for in the full glare of the camera? Who told you? Who told me? Who told that if somebody is sick, okay, brother, you have back pain? Come, I will pray now. Why not after the service? Oh, then who? Then how will my name come up? How will anybody know that it's by my prayer that that brother is healed? How will people know that the Disciples Fellowship is a gifted church? And how will people flock here? And how will money come here? And we see Holy Spirit a kind of shy person. He doesn't want to come to the limelight. And we even see this Jesus, after doing a miracle, He says, don't tell anybody. And we see the present day people saying, kindly put it in the YouTube. And so this kind of drama, if we think that that is of the Holy Spirit, well, you look at your scripture. I mean, your means the scripture which you have in your hand. Whether that is this Spirit. So kindly let us have an understanding of the Spirit. The wonderful gift of the Holy. So brother, are you saying that everything is bad, everything is fake and everything? No, brother, I am not saying. I thank God through for whatever reasons, as Apostle Paul said, for whatever envy or whatever ambition, people are preaching the gospel. But if gospel is preached, praise be to God, if people are coming to the kingdom, hallelujah. But we must understand the ways of the Lord. And please, I know personally, and I have been in church, kind of Christian church, where, you see, it is one thing to pray for the sick when people do not know the Lord. You see? So I go to a village and so many Hindu or Muslim or whatever other people who do not have direct relationship with the Lord. They are oppressed by the enemy and they are, you know, I don't know what's happening. And you preach the gospel and you pray for them and cast out demons. Hallelujah. Now, Sunday service is not a evangelism meeting or deliverance meeting. It's for primarily for the believers. Yeah. But I know of churches where believers who are 10 years in the Lord, 15 years in the Lord, 20 years in the Lord. Again, pastor, pray for me. I have a cough. I have this. I have that. I want to ask, can you not go to the Lord, enter the most holy place? Hallelujah. What is this 20-year-old, I don't know. I will. And the pastor also feels that very great because everybody is always coming to him. And some people are offended that the main pastor is not praying for them. Why is the main pastor not praying? Why are some chotus praying for me? Why are not great anointed people praying for me? Am I not important? Why is just a person like Anthony praying for me? Although he is also in the Lord for, I think, more than 20 years. But because he's not the elder or somebody, people say, Anthony, you don't pray. Pastor Jeffy, you pray. What is this? Are you not having any touch in the Lord? But it is one thing for an unbeliever to think like that. It's another thing for another people to think that they are having no relation with the Lord. Is there no role of elders praying? Yes. If you have a problem, call the elders. Now what's happening is opposite. The elders are calling people to the stage and praying. That's not what is written in James. Is anyone of you sick? Let him call the elders. And then certain things will happen. If there is any sin, it will be. Oh, so in the stage, is there any sin happening? Confess your sins to one another. Oh, where is that happening? Arey bhaiya, what is kya ho raha hai? What is happening? Is this a thing of the Holy Spirit? So, brethren, my request is, I am not here to criticize everybody. You know, who am I? Do I know everything? First of all, many of what I am saying is, even though I have been in the Lord for more than 25 years now, some of these things are dawning upon me only recently. So I'm not here to criticize anybody, but I'm here to tell you and expose that this kind of a so-called spirit thing is not a spirit thing, you see. It is one thing to do evangelism. It's another thing to consider you as grown up, as people. Hello, let us. Now, I can stand in prayer with you. Yes, and there are people, in this church also, there are people when they are sick, they are being prayed for, but not on the stage. And if the people need deliverance, they are being prayed for, but not on the stage. The stage is not the place. This is not a spectacle. Hallelujah. Now, when we focus on this spectacle, we forget about what we should actually be showing. We should be showing love, and we should be showing the fruit of the Spirit. But we are... And now that cannot be televised. That's a more problematic thing, how I behave with my wife and how I deal with my children and how I work in my workplace and, what kind of person am I? Hallelujah. Oh, the wonderful gift of the Spirit. Shall we stand up? The wonderful gift of the Spirit.